Fair housing is your right. Use it. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubuque Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodd, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott's Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
What up? Welcome Carlisle, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We're back. It's been a while. December 19th was our last show. Louisiana Tech has since won the DXL Frisco Bowl 51-10. The Duncan Dogs have won some games. They've lost some games. They've struggled in a huge way to start conference play. A lot going on in Louisiana Tech athletics. Sutton Davison, what's going on?
Ben, you nailed it on the head. We have moved out of football season, and college football itself is over as of last night. I know we'll talk a little bit about the college football national championship game. It was a wild one. It was can't miss TV. It was awesome.
Absolutely. College football never disappoints.
I think you tweeted that, and you.
I did.
I have to say I'm an NFL fan over a college football fan, but man, you're right. These playoff games were awesome, and I think Colin Cowherd said it today. The best 30 minutes of his life the last 2 weeks were the 15 minutes of overtime in the Georgia OU semifinal game, and then the 15 minutes of overtime last night. And boy, was it fun to watch.
Yeah, and that's a huge debate, college football overtime. I love it. It's
yeah, let's
thrilling.
Talk about that in a little bit. But you're right. We moved past the DXL Frisco Bowl, a game that Tech won in a major way and has implications moving forward in recruiting and you know, other facets of Tech's program that you know, weren't even evident that night.
Recruiting. You hit the nail on the head, early signing period. We'll cover that throughout the show. I think we're going to hit on around 6:30 or so. I know we covered it on our way over to Frisco for the Frisco Bowl. All in all, December 20th, we can look back at that date in 2017, and it might be Louisiana Tech Athletics' best day of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we'll talk about this in another segment too, but we actually had the Junior College National Defensive Player of the Year commit.
Yeah. Huge linebacker commit.
Following that game as a direct result of the 51-10 win over SMU. So, big things happen when you win big games like that, even after what could be seen as a tough season for Louisiana Tech.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I feel like for the most part, you look at the 51-10 victory, you stomp Sonny Dykes, you know, like him, love him or hate him. It's always nice to beat him. I don't think this will be the only time we, as Louisiana Tech fans, hope to beat him with the home-and-home agreement signed just days before the bowl game in 2021 and 2023. Tech forced six SMU turnovers. The first turnover coming on the first play from scrimmage. Jalen Ferguson, who played maybe his best game of the year, with a fumble recovery, and the route was on. It was fun throughout the night.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, for a non-biased viewer, that was a really weird game anyway. I mean, Sonny Dykes' situation was well-publicized. He had never even met some of his players when it was time to trot them out there for their bowl game. Some of the coaches were gone already. They had half a staff. They had a graduate assistant calling the plays.
You could tell.
And you could tell. You absolutely could. And we asked, you know, each other the week before that show, would Ben Hicks, the quarterback for SMU, be able to, you know, act like an NFL quarterback and call plays at the line and really adapt on the fly? And I think we saw that he didn't. Now, granted, Tech did get some incredibly big breaks. You know, it was a game marked by turnovers, like you said, but forgive them for not feeling too bad about that.
That's another thing I want to point on. You know, as much as SMU struggled offensively, let's give Blake Baker, Tech's defensive coordinator, and his defensive staff loads and loads of credit. You and I and our good friend Beck Haynes were looking at each other in the stands, and it just seemed like play after play after play, Baker was bringing pressure from every direction. Hicks had issues, you know, whether it was getting the ball out on time, whether it was holding the ball too long, whether it was throwing pick six interceptions to Amik Robertson.
He did plenty of that.
And Darrell Lewis. Blake Baker deserves a ton of credit. Year three for him as a defensive coordinator, I really think he's starting to mature. And, you know, 2018, we'll get into that in the next segment. But this Louisiana Tech defense, it's always dangerous to use the P word, potential, but they can be dangerous next year.
Yeah, and there's something to be said for leaving a good taste in your mouth. I mean, I know that at times you and I would look at each other during games at Joe Ia Stadium and think, what's wrong with this defense?
Yeah.
You know,
it was a solid defense, but it was don't break. That night, they wanted to break you.
Exactly, and they did just that. And I think that's all we'll remember going into 2018 is the inspiring performance in Frisco, Texas. And that's, I think, a big tone setter going into 2018, and one that, you know, this team's going to play with, you know, fire because of that going forward. You think about Amik Robertson calling for the ball against an NFL wide receiver. I mean, that kind of moxie and swagger will be a big deal going into 2018. If Blake Baker can harness that for that group next year, they'll be a fun unit to watch.
Yeah, and as always, we'd love to hear from you on the Fairway Carts hotline, Fairway Carts text line, 888-993-7762. Once again, that number's 888-993-7762. Just a little bit more about Amik Robertson. Wrapped up, you know, one of the best freshman seasons that we've seen, especially out of a defensive back in a long time. As good as Xavier Woods was as a true freshman, I don't think Amik Robertson was in the same ballpark as Xavier Woods. He was much, much better.
Yeah, and Xavier Woods is playing on Sundays now, and in a, I think he's a nickel guy, maybe even starting right now.
Starting safety, maybe.
Yeah, starting safety for the Dallas Cowboys. And so for Amik Robertson to come in and have the type of season he had is special. And you know, that is something that I think Amik has set the tone for all kinds of future recruits who, you know, may be recruited by big schools, who may have offers from places like LSU, but may be undersized or may not be able to, you know, compete for a starting job right away at places like that. There's something to be said about what Amik did and coming to Tech and, you know, saying, I'm going to go somewhere where I can be the guy, I can be the man, I can take over. And that's not selfish. That's not prideful. That's, to me, a great decision by it seems like a really smart young man to come to a place where he could have an immediate impact, and boy, did he ever.
Yeah, I think he's been named a freshman All-American by a couple of publications. Certainly a tremendous honor for him. It's going to be special to watch him grow over the next 3 years. He follows O'Shea Dugas, Ethan Reed, in recent years being named freshman All-American. So he certainly had an outstanding, not only a Frisco Bowl, but also 2017 season. Let's talk a little bit about the play of Jamar Smith against SMU. He's been, I'm not going to say criticized throughout the year, but there's been a lot of question marks surrounding his play.
Yeah, he's been hot and cold all year, and, you know, he hasn't done anything to really blow us away. But I think Jamar has really grown a lot as a game manager and as a guy who can get in there and lead a team down the field. And that's not something we were so sure about midway through this season. He managed the offense really well in that Frisco Bowl game.
He
didn't make a lot of bad decisions.
No.
He made some good throws.
He hit the throws he should hit.
He did drop a 2-yard receiver pass.
He's not a wideout.
He's not a wideout.
Think he's going to be moving there.
I don't think he's going to be moving there either. Now, let's hope he doesn't stay a center fielder for much longer either.
But that's one of the big offseason storylines.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with an offseason to mature and progress and to – I was talking to Beck about this, actually. You know, Jamar is a guy who I feel like operates, you know, when he feels confident. And I mean, everyone's like that to a degree. When you feel confident about something – that's when you can go out and operate at your fullest potential. And to be honest, I don't think he walked into this season with confidence. I don't think he walked into this season saying, this is my team, I'm the guy, and let's go do what I do.
And I think you add in the fact that, you know, the expectations for him were so unrealistic.
Yeah, the sample size was one game at Arkansas that he dang near almost won.
Yeah, and so, you know, he came into this year with high expectations. It was an up-and-down year, but like you said, he developed by game 13. He managed that game against SMU. He played really well. One throw that stuck out in particular to me was that one where he was rolling towards the SMU sideline and hit Teddy Veal. Beautiful pass, nice touch on the ball.
Absolutely.
That's just an example of the growth. You know, we've seen him struggle throwing on the run,
yeah.
And that was a play that he hit Teddy in stride. Teddy Veal, huge game as well, 118 yards, two touchdowns.
Yeah, and he also threw another gem to Cam McKnight in the back of the end zone.
McKnight made a nice play.
McKnight made a great play, but Jamar put it where he could get it, and that's, you know, something to be said about that. One thing I think we talked about, a taste in your mouth. Jamar's got a great taste in his mouth going into next year. He just went out there in the biggest game of the year, a packed house in Frisco, and stomped. A team that a lot of people believed would beat Louisiana Tech, even with all the stuff surrounding
their
program. And, you know, there's something to be said for that kind of confidence. I think now Jamar can walk into this spring and really be able to take the reins of this program and operate with confidence. I think he's got to learn how to, pull the ball down and run a little bit. He's got to learn how to do that well with confidence and not panic. I think we've seen him panic a little at times. And, you know, that's just stuff that comes with game experience and maturity and being able to know exactly where you need to go with the ball at what point. And
yeah.
So that's going to come with time.
Absolutely. And one more thing, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention Boston Scott, 110 yards, goes over 1,000 yards for the season, former walk-on.
He just got engaged, too.
Yeah, just got engaged.
Boston.
He, along with Jared Kraft, you know, Kraft had a slow finish of the year due to injury, but those two outstanding four-year careers at Louisiana Tech, and I'm extremely excited to see what Tech does at running back next year, but losing Boston Scott and Jared Kraft could hurt in a big way.
Yeah, and I think Boston has every intention to continue his football career.
Rightfully
and,
so.
And give him a shot. Why not? I mean, he's undersized. There's no question about that, but the kid runs hard. And when you put the ball in his hands, he's going to do everything it takes to get that first down or to pick up those extra yards. And that's something that you can't teach. He's a guy who has never been handed anything in his life, and he has worked hard for the spot that he's been put in. And good job. I mean, congrats to him, and best of luck to him at the next level.
Absolutely. And just, you know, all in all, 7-6, not the ideal season, but a solid finish to the year. Without a doubt. I'm excited to see what Coach Holtz and his staff continue to build heading into 2018. Let's go straight to the Fairway Carts Hotline. We're joined by Taylor. How you doing tonight, Taylor?
Hey, boys, doing good. First of all, love what y'all do. Appreciate you guys. Just had a question about Jamar. I heard you talking some praises his direction. I'll be honest, man, I don't think he's a gamer. I'm a little worried coming into next year, just thinking, I don't know if he's got that killer instinct. Watching Alabama play last night and their little freshman guy, he just got a killer instinct, and I don't know if Jamar's got it.
Well, Taylor, I think you make a good point. Hey, turn your radio down, by the way. It'll help us hear a little bit better. But I think you make a good point in that, like, Jamar doesn't have the confidence that a guy who's been taking reps at an Alabama for – oh, the better part of a year. I mean, Tua Tagovailoa.
He wasn't the number one recruit in America for no reason.
Right, and he's been enrolled since last spring. I mean, the guy's been on campus for a long time, taking reps against the top defensive players in the country. But I agree. I think Jamar has some growing to do.
He has a lot of room for growth, and I think he needs a spring where he's pushed by whether it's Weston Elliott or Elijah Walker. He needs to be pushed for that spot. Personally, who do you think should be the favorite at the quarterback position, since you're not satisfied with Jamar?
Ben, I'm going to be honest with you. I know we didn't get to see a real large sample size of Weston Elliott, but the kid looks like a baller, 6'5", got an NFL body. Heard he can throw it a quarter mile. I mean, obviously he was a little nervous during the bowl game. That's a big moment for, basically a freshman, kind of a sophomore. But, I don't know. I just hope there's some good, healthy competition in camp this spring, and maybe that'll push Jamar. Maybe he'll – you know, I don't know. There's always the baseball debate. We don't know if that really plays into that too much. But I don't know, man. I just hope. I don't want to take too much of y'all's time. I just hope that Jamar can step it up and that we can see a little more, just a little killer instinct out of him in the spring.
Well, Taylor, you make a good point. And I think Weston Elliott is a capable backup. He's a guy that started some games at Trinity Valley – or Blinn Community College, excuse me. And you know, looks like a guy that looks real good in pads. He's thrown some good balls.
I think it's Jamar's job.
I remember the touchdown he threw at Mississippi State was a nice one to Cowser. But, You're right, Ben. Jamar's job going forward, he's the guy, the face of the program going forward. And can he capitalize on this success? Taylor, thanks for the call, man.
No problem. Y'all be good.
Yeah. Great call, as always. Call us, like Taylor. You know, he might not have the most popular opinion. I personally think Jamar had a good finish to this season. I know you did as well.
Absolutely.
So we'd love to hear from you on the Fairway Carts hotline.
All opinions welcome.
Yeah, 888-993-7762. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take our first time out after the break. We'll give a little more rundown of, you know, what's coming up later in the show. We'll take a look back at 2017, kind of our thoughts, not necessarily from a position-by-position standpoint, but just highs and lows, maybe some offensive, defensive MVPs. Maybe talk a little bit about that national championship last night that Taylor was talking about. But stay tuned, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be right back after the break.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen. Fan food. Not fast food.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7. College football season has come to an end. We are moving out of football season, as much as it pains me to say, and heading into basketball season, which is already well underway. But before we move all the way out of basketball, there was an incredible game on last night. I know it wasn't involving Louisiana Tech, but it was absolutely must-watch television. Last night, Alabama 26, Georgia 23 in overtime to win the national championship. Nick Saban's sixth national championship of his career, fifth in the last 9 years.
He's the GOAT.
Is Nick Saban the greatest college football coach of all time?
I think
ties him
GOAT
with Bear Bryant for most wins in the bowl era, but is he the greatest?
When you win 5 in 9 years, I don't think there's any question. He's the GOAT. What he's doing at Alabama, what a gutsy call to go from Jalen Hurts to Tua Tagovailoa in the second half. Tua, the freshman quarterback for Alabama, can sling it. I don't think this will be the only national championship they'll win with him at the helm. But like you said, sensational game, both sides. So much fun to see what Kirby Smart's doing at Georgia. Jake Fromm, the freshman quarterback, he looks like he has a really bright future. You know, big NFL-type body. The two Georgia running backs as well. Sony flat-screen Michelle, and Nick Chubb, four-year careers. Tough to see them not be able to end it with a championship.
Yeah, absolutely. But Georgia is a program that has become, I mean, is becoming a perennial playoff team and one that, you know, big time recruits are going to want to go play at. You talk about Jake Fromm, one of the top recruits. He was committed to Alabama last year, ended up going to Georgia after he heard that Tua was committed to Bama. So a little bit of what goes around comes around there. But here's another interesting thing about Georgia before we get into the game. They've got Eason, I think. Eason, who already has transferred from Mizzou once.
No, he hasn't transferred yet.
He didn't come from Mizzou?
I don't believe so. I'm not 100% sure.
Maybe I'm thinking about the other kid. Sorry. But you got Eason, who was the starter last year. And then you got Justin Fields, the number two overall ranked quarterback in the country coming out 2018.
I think you'll see Eason move on.
But why does Fields choose Georgia when he could have gone anywhere in the country when Fromm, you know, has done a pretty dang good job of solidifying himself as the guy, and he's a true freshman himself?
Must believe in what Kirby Smart's preaching. I think, you know, the quarterback situation at Georgia is obviously they're rich at the quarterback position. It's tough to say this, but Jake Fromm and Justin Fields might battle it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you see an injury situation again like Eason had this year, who knows? Maybe Justin Fields is the guy. But overall, real quick before we get back to the regular scheduled programming, I don't think you'll be surprised if we see Alabama and Georgia in the SEC championship for years to come, potentially matching up in a playoff again. They just seem like two programs that are going to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, there's something to be said about those Nick Saban disciples that go on to be head coaches themselves. Those teams are always successful. Now, do they always beat Nick Saban? No. In fact, they never do.
Yeah, but 12-0.
But those guys, you think about guys like Jimbo Fisher, guys like Kirby Smart.
Derek Dooley. We got to get to Dooley later.
Oh, man. He's back. He's back. Coach Dooley is back in college football. But you got to give some love to Tua. How do you say it?
Tagovailoa.
Tagovailoa. Yeah.
Flying Hawaiian.
I mean, is that maybe the gutsiest thing that's ever happened in a national championship game? To go into half and tell your true freshman quarterback, it's yours at half.
Oh. I'd say it's right there with Peyton in the onside kick in the 09 Super Bowl.
Yeah.
No question. I mean, I read it in an ESPN article today. Not only is that a gutsy brain move, it involves another part of your body that we can't talk about on radio.
Yeah. I mean, it's gutsy.
It's gutsy.
You blow that game. I don't know if you know anything about the University of Alabama and their fan base, but I don't think they'd be too happy.
Yeah, that's a fan base that demands excellence. But you think about Tua. He comes in there. I mean, I don't even know what to say.
Colin on the Fairway Carts hotline says Eason from Georgia is headed to Washington.
Oh, okay.
So,
good for him.
You know, he'll go play for Chris Peterson, former Boise State coach.
They'll finish third in the Pac-12.
Yeah, enough with the national championship. It was a sensational game.
One more little point.
All right.
Devontae Smith, who caught that game-winning touchdown from Tua Tagovailoa, played high school football in Amite, Louisiana with Louisiana Tech redshirt freshman quarterback Elijah Walker.
Yeah, interesting connection.
So Devontae Smith the last passes he caught before, you know, he was at Alabama, the last pass he caught was from a future Louisiana Tech quarterback, which is interesting.
And maybe, you know, maybe he'll catch three balls next year and be headed back to Ruston to team up with Walker again.
And maybe Jalen Hurts will be coming with him.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's take a look back at Louisiana Tech's 2017 football season. 7-6, four straight bowl wins, as we mentioned in the open. You know, we've talked a little bit about Jamar Smith's sky-high expectations. He had a solid year, you know, not spectacular by any means. Completed 56% of his throws. I'd like to see that number to increase to around 63-65%. Threw for nearly 3,000 yards, 16 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He added another 6 touchdowns on the ground. You know, solid sophomore campaign from my point of view.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about Jamar a good bit, but there's you know, a lot of other places to address on this team and lots of improvement over the course of the season.
Place
for this
to
team.
Address.
Yeah.
We talked at nauseam about how would Tech replace Carlos Henderson and Trent Taylor.
Did they do it?
How do you think they did? I mean, I think Teddy Veal had a nice year.
But other than that, you know what?
searching for a number two.
Exactly. A lot to be desired from the receiver group. I know that, you know, Rasheed Bonnet provides Jamar's favorite receiver. There's no question about that. They seem to have a connection that is special. And then Adrian Hardy is a big body, a guy that could provide some big plays.
He's got
plays
talent. He showed flashes before he went down with injury. You know, I like what Tech has at the receiving core, but, you know, they're going to have to improve heading into next year.
Let's send it over to the Fairway Cards hotline real quick to our boy Marcel, friend of the show. Marcel, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. Appreciate y'all giving me a few minutes, and it's good to hear you back.
Yeah, absolutely. What you got for us?
I love my Tech, and y'all know I do it, especially Skip Holtz. But I'm going to tell you, this is one situation where I think, looking back, Skip Holtz maybe have done Jamar a disservice. I mean, y'all think about it. After the Arkansas game, what was the common thing you heard every week? Jamar is going to be a rock star. He's going to be a rock star. I mean, he's going to be one of the hype that was kind of built up didn't allow a redshirt freshman sophomore guy to kind of come in kind of maybe under the radar a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think you make a great point. But, you know, to the same point, you know, if Skip was downplaying Jamar throughout the year, or, you know, leading up until this season, you and I have both seen how Jamar deals with confidence on nearly a series-to-series basis. You know, he could have known that he was dealing with a quarterback who he needed to instill some confidence in as well.
That is an awesome, excellent point. And actually, I believe that is exactly what the process, what he was doing. Skip Holtz is a master at motivation.
No question.
To me, he's one of the best. He's one of the best motivators and knows how to get somebody to want to do better as they come. You know, I've said all year, you know, looking back, you better be happy we were 7-6 because he wouldn't be here next year probably if he would have been the conference champion again. I mean, he's a type of coach that can coach anywhere and be successful, in my opinion.
Yeah, Marcel, you make a great point. I think Skip, he does a great job of empowering his players to play above maybe their gifting or maybe their situation. And I think you make a great point. He's a great recruiter. He's a guy who, you know, has confidence in his guys, and those guys go out and play well for him. And I think, you know, when Skip is done coaching, which he'll do for as long as he wants to do, he'd make a great athletic director, empowering, you know, his coaches or his staff at whatever school he ends up at. To do the best job there. So Skip Holtz is absolutely a vital part of this team, and he's put together an incredible class for 2018, and we're looking forward to seeing those guys play well for him next year.
Absolutely. One more point, then I'll get off here. But, you know, you don't have to look any further than the success he's had with the graduate transfers of the quarterbacks. I mean, think about it. Every one of these guys didn't come in great, you know, with great fanfare. There was something wrong or something didn't go right. But each one of them left having their best career ever. I mean, their best year ever, and you know, even got them a chance to be what they wanted to be the whole time, and that was a professional player.
Absolutely, Marcel. That's a great point. We thank you for the call tonight. You know, I think Marcel makes a great point. It's easy to overlook the fact that Jamar was a sophomore. We've been spoiled with, you know, three straight fifth-year quarterbacks, whether it be the transfer route or like Ryan Higgins coming up through the program. But overall, I think Skip Holtz did a nice job. It's a young football team this past year. If you join us at BleedTechBlue.com for just $9.95 a month, we got some discussion going on our message board talking about how you look ahead to the depth chart in 2018. Out of 51 guys on just a, you know, pretty basic depth chart, how you think it would go with nobody really overtaking any position, you're looking at 41 juniors and seniors
out of
51.
That's 80% of your roster that's going to be a junior
and keep
senior
in mind,
next year.
You can make it 42. Amik Robertson's not even in that group.
Yeah, well, Amik's got three true years left to play. But
so it.
This isn't as young of a team as it used to be.
No, next year Tech's going to be extremely experienced, and you know I'm excited to see. Like Marcel said, Skip's a great motivator. It'll be nice to see an experienced product on the field next year, and see what they can do. Yeah, the schedule's a little tougher. We'll talk about that a little later with only five home games versus seven this year. But Tech didn't exactly protect the Joe with a great deal of strength in 2017, so maybe that's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, and, you know, one thing that I think is unique to this season that we haven't seen before and hopefully is a trend going forward is that the product on the field and these players who are coming like Amik Robertson's of the world are motivating recruits who aren't even on campus yet. I saw Broderick Calhoun, 2018 cornerback.
Signed cornerback.
Yeah, he tweets out, you know, after it was reported that Amik was named a freshman All-American, he tweets out that that's his goal for next year is to be a freshman All-American. So it's cool to see guys like Amik come in and do what he did and motivate, you know, future guys who to do the same thing. The standard has been set by guys like that, and that's how you start to build a winning program. And Skip's staff is a big part of that, obviously, but players motivating players is a bigger part of it than you'd think.
Absolutely. And another thing I want to talk about with 2017, and, you know, he's been talked about since he entered the program as a quality running back. He's had a fight with cancer. It's been well documented. But for me, the story of the year, Jacquees Dancy, redshirt sophomore, he beats Hodgkin's lymphoma, returns to the field this year, you know, had a bout with injuries, you know, at times, but really nice to see him back on the field this year, contributing in a positive way, especially in the UTEP win when he racked up 135 yards on the ground. I think he had 153 total yards in that game. So from a story standpoint, what Jacquees Dancy did in 2017 was truly remarkable.
Yeah, and he's back next year and honestly is one of the only running
probably
backs.
Probably the lead back coming
he's
in
He's one
the
of the only running backs with experience that's going to be left on this team. I know there's a lot of he said, she said about what the running back position is going to look like next year, but Dancy, as far as we know, is the guy going into next year.
As far as experience, you know, he's far and beyond what anybody else has.
Yeah, and, you know, Jacquees reminds me a lot of a guy that was here a couple years ago named Tevin King, a guy who's
small. A little
small,
bigger than Tevin, but from a height standpoint.
Totally. But, man, another year for Jacquees to
– has that extra gear.
To get that strength back to for those bones to, you know, get a little stronger and his, you know, muscle mass to come back. I think he's going to be a great player next year. We know he has the breakaway speed, but you did see him at times this year start to break off a long run and then run out of gas a little bit. And I don't think you'll see that as much next year with a year to kind of further remove himself from chemotherapy and radiation.
Real quick, before we hit the break, I know we're running short on time for this segment, but offensive, defensive MVP for you in 2017?
Well, offensive MVP for me, man, I don't know. It's tough.
I'm
going to go Boston
Scott.
You have to.
Boston Scott, heck of a year.
I was going to say Teddy Veal maybe in the discussion just because he comes over as a transfer and has – and leads the team in receiving. But you're right, Boston Scott, 1,000-yard rusher, former walk-on, great story. And then defensive MVP, I think you got to go Amik.
I'm with you. It seemed like week after week, it seemed like he made a big play, 5 interceptions. I think that was tied for 2nd in the nation.
But Blake Baker also deserves a
lot
nod.
Of credit, yeah.
He also deserves consideration for that spot. When we come back, we will take a look at recruiting a little bit, the early signing period, a couple of late commitments that have made a big splash. So stay with us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Rustin West Monroe.
Wapo Tire Service has been a proud Tech sponsor for over 60 years. When Tech hits the court, it's game on. This weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Wapo Tire get you safely to and from the game. With brake repair, alignment, computer diagnostic, plus all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Wapo Tire Service Superstore, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe, or visit WapoTire.com.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust. trust and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience, uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Louisiana Tech. Early signing day, December 20th. Successful day across the board. Louisiana Tech defeats SMU 51-10. And Coach Holtz and his staff signed 13 recruits on the opening day of the early signing period, December 20th, a recruiting class that when you look at it, you know, 7 3-star recruits. I can't say that Tech has, you know, pulled in 7 3-star recruits in a recruiting class in quite some time. The job that Coach Holtz, Coach Joe Sloan, Coach Blake Baker, and all the Louisiana Tech coaching staff are doing. I'm excited to see some of these guys get on campus.
Yeah, the latest of those 3-star recruits, Connor Taylor, the junior
JUCO defensive player of the year.
Yeah, it took the words right out of my mouth.
Sure did.
6'1", 230-pound inside linebacker out of Snow Junior College out of Utah.
Get this, hold on.
Yeah, tell me.
I think he had 158 tackles at junior college this year.
Man, I mean, that's a difference maker right there. And you know, to have a guy like that commit following the big bowl win is huge. It tells you a lot about what you can do after, you know, not the season we all wanted, but a big bowl victory, leaving a great taste in recruits' mouth. And he signed that night, I think, or maybe the next morning.
Yeah. Not only did Connor Taylor commit after the big Louisiana Tech bowl win, you know, Brandon Floyd, as we've talked about in shows past, from Trinity Valley Community College, is already on campus at linebacker. 6'3", 230 pounds. He'll likely lead the Dogs off the bus each week next year. He's one of those kind of guys. And one of his teammates, December 19th, before the early signing period opened up, Trey Baldwin, former Missouri linebacker, teammate of Floyd at Trinity Valley Community College, 6'2", 235 pounds, a lot like Taylor, plays inside linebacker, pledges his commit to Louisiana Tech, and he might be a bigger get than Taylor was. When you look at the linebacker position going forward with Taylor, Floyd, and Baldwin, look out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the get of Baldwin, a guy who has played multiple games in a Mizzou uniform, that's huge. I mean, a guy with Power 5 experience coming over to a place like Louisiana Tech is invaluable. Ben, I know we've talked a lot about guys like Amik Robertson coming in as true freshman and making immediate impact, and being a guy who fans have grown to, you know, look at as the guy. Are there any players in this class who could come in and do the same thing? Are there any guys on this board, 3-star or not, who could come in, make an immediate impact, and win over Tech fans, you know, from the start?
You know, that's a really difficult question to answer. Looking at Tech from a secondary standpoint, we've talked at length about Amik Robertson and his contributions. Jaden Cole a year ago out of Neville. Darryl Lewis had a sensational year in the secondary. Jordan Baldwin's a ball player. Looking at the secondary guys with B.J. Williams and Broderick Calhoun.
High school teammates.
Yeah. Xavier Lodge out of Woodlawn and Baton Rouge. Defensive back-wise, I think it's going to be difficult to come in and contribute right away, so I wouldn't expect those guys to come in and play right away. You look at a guy like Maurice Wren at wide receiver, ESPN 300 guy. I think he's a guy that if you're looking for a name, a guy that jumps off the page, you know, 30 Division I offers, he's a guy that could come in and contribute right away.
Yeah, absolutely. Wren is a guy that has a lot to be excited about, a big frame. 6'3", 230, 25-pound guy who, you know, has a lot to offer. He's an athlete coming out. He isn't really committed to a position, played a lot of linebacker, defensive end type hybrid position in high school. And so he's a guy that can play anywhere and he can make a big impact no matter where he's lined up.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, Wren's just a freshman, but I fully expect the three junior college linebackers to contribute right away.
No
as
question.
Well. So, you know, looking at the rest of this class, you know, red flags. What didn't Tech get done on signing day that was a little bit disheartening? Well,
you look at Smoke Harris.
Yeah, Smoke Harris, 3A player of the year, or 3A state championship most outstanding player with 307 all-purpose yards. He didn't sign. I'll leave it at that right now.
It's a little murky as to why, but yeah.
It's murky right now as to his reason why, but I'll be honest with you. You join us at BleedTechBlue.com, $9.95 a month. I caught up with the kid last week. You know, I'm not going to spill the beans or anything, but it's murky at this point.
Yeah, it's murky, but is it something that you could see coming back around, or do people need to subscribe to find that out too?
Yeah, let's let them subscribe. You know, this is big time. Smoke Harris, you can say he's 5'6", 160. I can say he's Philip Livas.
I can say he's Philip Livas, and if you don't remember Philip Livas, then you're new to the process, but he's a guy who was a home run hitter and who was, you know, liable to take it the distance every single time. Okay, so Ben, here's my question. Moving out of the early signing period, obviously with February the 2nd, is it?
7th.
7th, still ahead, which is the normal signing period that we're used
to.
First Wednesday in February. Who are some guys that Tech's looking to lock down in that last period, the final targets for this to kind of round out this class?
Okay, so when you look at where Tech is right now with 14 signees on board, as we reported on BleedTechBlue.com for quite some time, Tech's probably going to sign somewhere in the range of 17 to 19 guys. Big junior college offensive tackle will be in this weekend. You can visit BleedTechBlue.com for his name. When I say he's big, he's large. And he's a road grader in the run game. He's a guy that's kind of been overlooked some, but I'll tell you one thing. Lane Kiffin's offered him recently, so he's got some talent.
Lane Kiffin's trying to get him to come to the FAU.
Yeah, and also Tech did not sign any running backs in the early signing period. With Jared Kraft and Boston Scott leaving, it will be interesting to see the direction that Coach Holtz and his staff go. Do they go with the two commits, DeAndre Marcus out of Ruston, Elijah Hines out of Port Arthur? Do they go with those two only at running back, bring in two freshmen, hope they can come in and contribute right away? Or do they go to the junior college, possibly the graduate transfer route, and get someone that can come in immediately and help out Jacquees Dancy?
Yeah, I think you've got to think about going JUCO or grad transfer just to be a stopgap type thing, because we just graduated our two, you know, leading rushers,
yeah.
Kraft and Scott, guys with big-time experience, and even those guys had trouble adjusting when you lose a guy like Kenneth Dixon. So you'd like to stay where you are and not take steps back, and I think just bringing in two true freshmen to carry the load next to Jacquees Dancy might be a little bit of a step back. Not that those guys aren't gifted, but having a guy like Boston Scott and Jared Kraft, who are four-year players, that's experience that you just can't make up for.
Yeah, well, and I think it's important, you know, to maybe bring in an older guy, because, you know, you look at the guys that are on campus right now. You got Jacquees Dancy, who will be a redshirt junior. You got Israel Tucker. I think he had 9 carries this year as a redshirt freshman. He's young. He's a smaller Boston Scott type of running back. You got D. Fleming, walk-on D. Fleming. He's been, you know, missed the whole year with an injury. You got Bobby Hiley, a walk-on out of Farmville Union High School.
Who's shown some promise as kind of a third-down back, fullback type of guy.
Yeah, he's more of a fullback, I feel like. So, you know, whether you bring in two freshmen like Marcus and Hines, or whether you go the junior college route or the graduate transfer route, I think it's important to get at least two more running backs in that running back room. You know, we've seen it. You need 3, 4, sometimes 5 running backs. And don't be surprised if you see Cam McKnight maybe move back to running back.
I wasn't going to say it. I was going to maybe see if you kept that to your chest, but yeah.
He might move back to running back. He played running back in high school.
He's sure big enough for it.
Yeah, you know, he's downhill. He'll be a downhill between the tackles runner at 230, 240.
And he got a couple carries this year.
Yeah, I think he had 15 carries this year. And so, you know, he might move back to running back. It's really up in the air, but Tech needs some more bodies. And on top of that, they have to be able to contribute in a positive manner.
Absolutely. Less than a month away from February 7th, the final signing period of this year's class. When we come back, we're going to shift things over to basketball, talk a little Conference USA Dunkin' Dog basketball with our good friend Austin Brown of Mid-Major Madness. So stay with us here on ESPN, Sports Talk 97.7, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be right back.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, medcamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat, and you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Get off the interstate and get into Brennan Dodge Chrysler Jeep, and let us show you why your satisfaction is our number one priority. As a certified Chrysler 5-star dealership, we take great pride in the experience you have with us. That's why the customer satisfaction scores you give us continually rank in the highest level. Come see us at Brennan Dodge Chrysler Jeep in Ruston, or shop our website at BrennanDodge.com. You'll experience great deals and award-winning service, and you will know why Brennan Dodge is a certified Chrysler 5-star dealer.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Sutton Davison. We're now joined on the Fairway Cards hotline by a good friend of the program, Austin Brown of Mid-Major Madness. How you doing tonight, Austin?
Doing well, guys. How are y'all?
We're doing pretty good. Let's jump right to the chase. Since we last talked, I'm not sure if Baylor's won a football game yet. I saw that Baker Mayfield went down in the semifinal of the college football playoff. Just how are things going?
You are correct in saying that Baylor has not won a football game since we last spoke. They only won one this year, but you know who has not lost a football game since we last spoke? That is my guy, Joey Freshwater, down there in Boca Raton. I heard Sutton was talking a little bit of smack on him earlier, which hurt my soul. But I'm glad he's sticking around the CUSA for another year.
That is actually not true. I am a huge proponent of what's going on down there at the FAU. But, in fact, I think the FAU could possibly rival the U as the new bell cow in Florida if things keep going the way they are. Austin, let's talk a little basketball real quick. I know you being a guy who covers a lot of mid-majors, you kind of look at things from a 30,000-foot view. Us at Louisiana Tech, we're kind of on the ground, so we're going to try to bridge that gap a little bit. But first, talk a little bit about how Conference USA is viewed in the college basketball world in terms of the teams in that conference, the strength at the top, and kind of, you know, what do you think of when you think of CUSA basketball?
I think CUSA has definitely done a lot to help its case the last few years. I know right now KenPom has four of the teams in the top 100. It's got Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, Old Dominion, and UAB. We do a weekly ranking every week for Mid-Major Madness.
And you get hammered on your top 25.
Yeah, it's mostly – I don't know why people get upset. I had Lipscomb fans yelling at me. I was the only person on our site that even ranked them, and Lipscomb fans still got mad. So – I don't know. I enjoy it. I embrace my inner Seth Davis and just roll with it. But, yeah, I have Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, and Old Dominion in the top 25. So I think it's good. There are definitely some teams at the bottom, namely the FAU and Rice, that kind of trying to bring the conference down in terms of overall perception. I think that that's probably the one knock on it, is that they're perceived to be several easy games, especially if you can get those teams at home. But overall, I think it's establishing itself as one of the better mid-major leagues in the country.
Well, Lane Kiffin can't coach basketball or play, so you can't expect much from
him. Have you seen him try?
Hey, you know what? That might be the new thing. Sign him for another 10-year deal as the basketball coach. You wouldn't miss much of a step. Hey, Austin.
Yeah, I can't really get much worse.
Next thing we want to talk about is kind of, obviously, the top of the conference is looking good. It hasn't looked much different than we thought it would, you know, with teams like Middle Tennessee, UAB, Western Kentucky sitting up close to the top. But one thing that has looked different than we thought is that Louisiana Tech isn't where they want to be. I know usually Louisiana Tech is a team that has sat closer to the top of those standings, played in a couple of conference championship games over the last couple of years, you know, with Mike White and even, you know, as recently as, what was it, Ben, a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
And so talk about, I know Louisiana Tech isn't maybe a team on your radar a whole lot, but talk about the season maybe they've had this year, and is this a team that, you know, should look to maybe just develop its young talent and move on, or is this a team that can maybe make a run late in the season and get back closer to the top of those standings before conference tournament time?
I definitely don't think it's time to throw in the towel with this team. I mean, you look at, they have, what, 7 losses this year, and, what, 4 or 5 of them have come within one shot. I mean, you look at their 3 conference losses. They lost to Western Kentucky by 1 and UTSA by 2. So it's not like they're just getting run out of the gym. They're in every game. I know, obviously, losing Jalen Harris, that's a huge blow. That's not something you expect to have to deal with in the middle of the year, especially for the weird reasons, not even an injury or anything. So I think that hurts. And then when you do have a bunch of young guys, that guys are getting thrown into new roles, they're having to have guys maybe step up, on, particularly on offense, that weren't expected to do so this year. I definitely don't think that it's time to give up or anything. They got a tough go of it here this week with Middle Tennessee and UAB, but after that it gets easier. You get North Texas, Rice, and Southern Miss. So I don't know. I think if they can survive this week, I think they could rattle off 5 or 6 in a row, which is not out of the question.
Yeah, I think survive's a good way to put it. If they can find a way to split on the road somehow, some way this week, what Kermit Davis is doing at Middle Tennessee, you know, it took him, you know, quite a while, 10-plus years before he really got the train rolling at Middle Tennessee. But you look at Alabama transfer Nick King, 6'7", 23 points a game. Talk a little bit about what Tech will see Thursday night when they play at Middle Tennessee and take on Nick King.
Yeah, I think that between Nick King and Giddy Potts, it's probably the best 1-2 punch in the league. I mean, Middle Tennessee, if you are going to say they have a flaw, it's that they are over-reliant on those two guys. But, I mean, there's really not an aspect of their game that they don't do well. I mean, their defense is good, offense is good. They can shoot not great from the three-point line. So that's probably their one flaw, but between that and I think Kermit Davis is establishing himself as one of the most well-respected mid-major coaches in the country. So I don't know if they can figure out some sort of answer for Nick King and Giddy Potts. Swaggy P. If he shows up, they're in trouble. But if they can figure out a way to stop those, if you make anybody else beat you but those two guys, that's how you beat Middle Tennessee, but that's obviously a lot easier said than done.
Absolutely. And, you know, we saw the other night when UTEP came to the Thomas Assembly Center just how important it is for a team like Louisiana Tech to have young talent. You know, you talked about Jalen Harris leaving the program completely unexpectedly, and then last year's Conference USA Freshman of the Year, Daquan Bracey, dealing with a little bit of a back injury right now. And then to make things even crazier, the other night the lone real center on the Louisiana Tech team, Janiah White, had a death in the family. He was at a funeral. So really you're starting not only a small lineup, but a small lineup of young guys, some true freshmen in there, some guys who haven't played significant minutes, and really was impressed with the way that they came out and played quality minutes when given the chance. But what I'm wondering is, could the young depth you know, that this team has offset the lack of shooting that you lose with guys like Jalen Harris and Daquan Bracey, you know, dealing with an injury?
Yeah, they definitely – the depth is going to be their biggest asset. I mean, I think that now with Harris gone, like you said, yeah, when you have Janiah White missing games, that doesn't help. But I think, yeah, generally if you live and die by the three, that's not a great way to play anyway. I mean, you see teams go down like that. You saw it happen to Oklahoma this weekend. So I actually don't hate if they're trying to get away from that. But, yeah, when you're relying on that many young guys, and unless you're John Calipari, it's just hard to win with that kind of thing, especially when you got guys stepping into new roles and you've got guys rotating around, guys being injured. So I think once this team kind of settles in and they can maybe play a few games of everybody's playing the same role and they have the same rotation going and you're not going into every night wondering what exactly you're going to be asked to do, I think they're going to be all right.
I think you make a great point. Coach Conkle was actually on this, you know, morning drive with Aaron this morning. He talked about how a lot of different guys are playing with a lot of different lineups. So you make a good point when you talk about playing in the same rotations and really getting comfortable. And Austin, I know you watch a lot of college basketball on a nightly basis. You know, us at Louisiana Tech, you know, we're used to the high-flying, high-powered offenses. But it just seems like every time Tech gets into a game, a upper echelon, highly anticipated game that an opposing team seems to just flat out, quite honestly, shoot the lights out. Across college basketball, do you feel like defense is really taking a back seat in this generation's how they play the game?
In terms of how they play the game, yeah, I definitely think so. I've long had a theory that Steph Curry ruined pickup basketball and seems like all of basketball now because every kid thinks they can pull up from 40 feet and most of them can't. But if you look at really who's been able to have success the last few years and who's been able to make deep runs in the tournament, very rarely is it the offensive team. Last year that would have been UCLA, who just wanted to score 100 points a game but did not feel like guarding anybody. The teams that aren't necessarily as flashy, like North Carolina, they couldn't shoot to save their souls last year, but they won the national championship just grinding it out, playing defense and getting to the rim. So I think that flashier style of just we're going to chuck up a million threes a game, I think that's appealing, but it hasn't necessarily translated into a ton of success. So I don't know. If I were a coach, I wouldn't be so destined to run to that style of play.
Austin, before we let you go, looking at Conference USA, I know we still got a lot of conference play left, but who do you like to come out of that conference for the one automatic bid? And do you see possibly any of those teams picking up an at-large? I know that doesn't happen often, but is this league worthy of two bids?
I mean, I think right now, if you look at it, it's a two-horse race. You got Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee. If it's going to be one of those teams, I think Middle Tennessee is probably the one that gets an at-large bid. I mean, Western Kentucky, they have some good wins early in the year. That could help them out. Gun to my head, I'm still taking Middle Tennessee to win the conference. I think coaching's everything. In college basketball, particularly at the mid-major level, and nobody does it quite like Kermit Davis. I'm not as big of a believer in Stansbury's coaching as a lot of people, but I think they could make a run. I wouldn't be shocked if either of those two teams came out of the league.
Absolutely awesome. Well, we thank you for joining us tonight on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. How can our listeners follow you online?
Yeah, if you want to follow me on Twitter, my handle is @AustinO'Brown. The site I write for is midmajormadness.com, and that is @mid_madness on Twitter. Give us a follow. Some of the content's good. And, yeah, you can roast my ratings every week and tell me how I underrated your team, because that's what everybody else seems to love to do.
Boomer Sooner. Can't wait to watch Trey Young put on a show again.
He's not doing so hot at the moment. He's 1-for-12 in the first half, but maybe he'll figure it out.
Oh, some Lonzo Ball stats. Hey, Austin, thanks for joining us, man. We'll talk to you soon. Have a great one.
Absolutely. Y'all too.
Always fun to catch up with Austin. He knows his stuff.
I think we threw some curveballs at him tonight.
Yeah.
But as far as covering mid-major programs, he's one of the best
and let me tell you that
I've followed. He's a great follower.
Oh, man, he's outstanding to follow on Twitter. There's nothing better. He is hilarious. You know, we hate to use the term mid-major because we play high-level basketball here in Ruston, Louisiana, in Conference USA. But he writes for Mid-Major Madness, and they cover Conference USA very, very well. And he is outstanding at what he does.
Yeah, absolutely. A good friend of mine for a long time. So he's a guy who is doing big things up there and a great friend of the show. We're always honored to have him on. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll talk more Dunkin' Dog basketball, talk a little bit about the struggles to open up conference play. Obviously, a couple of setbacks with Jalen Harris leaving. We'll get into all of that and what this team needs to do to turn it around the second half of the season. Stay with us right here, ESPN Sports Talk 97.7, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We'll be right back.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. Banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience, uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the Uncommon Bank, www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubok Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
Gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Dunkin' Dogs, Lady Texter basketball, both are in the midst of conference play. First things first, Sutton, I just want to talk about the job that Brooke Storr is doing with the Lady Texters program. Winners of seven straight, 11-4 overall, 2-0 in conference play. Kudos to her and her husband, Scott, for what they're doing with that program.
Yeah, absolutely. Seven straight, like you mentioned, averaging 72 points per game over that stretch. Got a couple big games this week at Southern Miss and at Marshall. Got to keep that win streak alive. I know you don't want to think about streaks like that, but when you win seven in a row, you got to start talking about the streak, keeping it alive, and it's exciting to have
they're headed back to the Final Four.
Yeah, oh shoot, man, that would be crazy. But me and a friend of mine were talking about this the other day. Louisiana Tech, their greatest bell cow sport is women's basketball.
Absolutely.
The Lady Texters are the most iconic sport at Louisiana Tech in their history, and to see them come back and be great is something that I think a lot of fans desire. I know the Tech isn't always rocking for Lady Texter games, but it should be. And I think that, you know, what Brooke Storr and her husband Scott are doing is impressive. And that if this team can come back to the days of old, man, that would be awesome for Tech fans.
Yeah, so great start for the Lady Texters. Brooke Storr, 2-0 in conference play, like Sutton mentioned, on the road at Southern Miss Thursday night. Then they'll travel to Huntington to take on Marshall Saturday afternoon. One more quick side note, Alexis Malone, forward for the Lady Texters, was just named the Conference USA Player of the Week, so congratulations to her as well.
Absolutely. Hey, let's move over to the guys' side of things, talk some more Dunkin' Dogs basketball. I know we talked a little bit with Austin kind of about some specifics going on with Louisiana Tech. I know we mostly talked about Conference USA, but let's zoom in a little bit on this Louisiana Tech program, talk about some specifics surrounding it and what this team needs to do to get back in the conference hunt.
Yeah, first let's talk about Jalen Harris. Some news that we broke, or that was broke on our board as we were headed to Frisco December 20th. It became public news on the 22nd. So not nice to see Tech, you know, win those first couple games without Harris, but a big loss nonetheless. You know, I've heard rumors out there, you know, not the greatest team player, this or that. At the end of the day, when you lose a premier scorer, it's going to hurt, and it showed up, especially at the beginning of conference play.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could argue that Harris was the best scorer on the team.
I think he was the best pure scorer.
Absolutely. He wasn't the greatest shooter, but he was the best finisher and the best pure scorer on the team. And for him to literally just up and walk out on the program is disappointing.
It really disappointing.
And I don't want to talk too specifically about what happened because we don't know. None of us really know. But you mentioned Coach Conkle, I think, tried to essentially light a fire under Jalen Harris and get his head back into things and get him to be the teammate that Coach Conkle thought he was capable of being. And rather than responding well to that, it seems like Jalen Harris
chose to go a different direction,
ready to throw in the towel a little bit, and that's disappointing. And you know, obviously we'll never truly know what happened there. But nonetheless, that's 19 points a game that you have to replace. And
yeah, it's extremely tough. A lot like we mentioned earlier, coming into this season, we talked about Bracey, Harris, Boykins, best trio in Conference USA. Well, you take out one of those three, now it's Bracey and Boykins. Bracey's nursing a back injury right now, which we'll get into in a sec. You know, Boykins, elite defender, elite shooter, not a guy that can really go get a bucket on his own. And I really think that's why the loss of Harris has shown up so much lately.
Yeah, and I noticed specifically the other night against UTEP. I mean, Tech did win the rebounding battle, but, man, it just didn't feel like we were pulling down a lot of offensive rebounds down there. It just felt a little bit like we were content to take one shot and get back on defense.
Absolutely. So let's go back to the beginning of conference play. Tech starts on the road at Western Kentucky and at Marshall. Not an easy trip. What Rick Stansberry is doing at Western Kentucky, he's doing an outstanding job. When you look at, I think he's got a Virginia transfer at point guard and Darius Thompson. You got Hollingsworth at the shooting guard, who is an ESPN Top 100 player. You got, you know, Justin Johnson at the four, who's given Tech fits for years. And then you got Dwight Colby, Kansas transfer, down low. Tech trailed through a majority of the night. They take a lead, 68-67, 12 seconds to go. Western Kentucky goes to the line, missed two free throws. Tech doesn't block out, and they lose.
Yeah, and
we've seen it happen before against ULL.
Absolutely, and you know, you could argue Western Kentucky is, like Austin mentioned, playing the best of anyone in the conference right now.
They're
the best team in the conference, and to go in there and lose by one, it's not a moral victory, but that's a tough place to play on the road against a really good, really well-coached team. And so here's my thoughts about the first four games of conference play. You got two losses inside of 3 points and then one that was pretty convincing at Marshall. You lose to a Western Kentucky team on the road by one, and then you have UTSA come in and you lose by two on a last-second shot. A heartbreaker, really.
Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
The home court advantage that Tech has had in the TAC for, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah.
87-4, and now they've lost three at home this year. Well, I mean,
yeah, it's difficult. And, you know, there's nothing to knock on the TAC fan. I mean, the Louisiana Tech fans about. I've been in the TAC for pretty much every game this season, and the place is rocking at the end of those games. I think Louisiana Tech, like we mentioned, and you mentioned this on the radio, I mean, on the call with Austin, it just feels like every time we play a team that can shoot at all, they have their best shooting night of the season, shoot their best percentage from three of the season, and then it doesn't matter how many hands you get in faces, they're going to shoot the lights out. It just seems like a plague that Tech can't get over. And that happened against UTSA in the TAC, and it happened against UTEP in the TAC. And luckily, they were able to come away with the win at UTEP. Weren't so fortunate against UTSA.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned the struggles that Tech's had defending. That's one thing that I was
critical.
Yeah, critical of after the UTEP win. I'm a guy that, you know, when I was in college and, you know, post-college days, it was Speedy Smith, Raheem Appleby,
Michael Kaiser,
Keon McNeil, Jaron Johnson. Those are the guys that I remember a lot recently.
True two-way players.
Yeah, and those are guys that played hard on both ends of the floor. And, You know, I'm not saying Coach Conkle's doing a bad job. He has more wins in his first 2 years as a head coach in Tech history. Okay, I can't blame him for that. But I think some of this has to do with the youth. You look at Amari Archibald, Xavier Christian, Jacoby Pemberton, you know, Oliver Powell, Anthony DeRuzzi. There's just freshmen and sophomores all over the place.
Yeah.
And the reason for that being is when you lose Mike White 3 years ago, some of those upper, you know, classes, juniors, seniors, when you look at the likes of Deion Griffin, Xavier Stapleton, those guys move on to, you know, so-called greener pastures. Well, now we're filled, Tech's filled with a lot of bodies in freshman and sophomore classes, and then you got a senior in Jacoby Boykins, the lone senior on the team, Janai White, Jalen Washington, who was signed late by Coach Conkle, who, you know, late signee, I would say Coach Conkle has really hit on Washington. He's developed into a pretty good shooter. And then Derek Jean, who Conkle was able to hold on when White left. So you look at your junior and senior class, you only have four guys out of 14.
Yeah, and, you know, you mentioned the young guys. It could be a two-way street there. You know, you could look at the young guys as a hindrance, or you can look at it as having quality depth that you could argue, you know, could lead to an eight-man rotation with this team. I think this is a team that has a lot of great depth, and I'd never seen Amori Archibald before
the
other night. The kid can play, and he's essentially the third point guard behind Bracey and Gene.
Yeah, he's a baller.
And the guy came in and played 31 minutes and had a career high, I think it was 15.
Yeah.
So, the guy was going after every rebound, going after every loose ball. He even got a rebound falling out of bounds on his own missed free throw. That's the kind of effort that these young guys provide from the bench that I think could be big time going down the stretch.
Yeah, so, you know, going forward, especially with Bracey out, he's questionable for Thursday night. Coach Conkle was on this morning with the morning guys, Aaron Dietrich and Jake Martin, 7 a.m., Sports Talk 97.7, if you want to give them a listen. Wouldn't really commit if Bracey was going to play Thursday night at Middle Tennessee. I'll be honest with you. I don't
need
him,
but they need him bad.
They do need him, but looking at how he was moving around against UTSA, I'll be honest with you. Tech needs to get him healthy. Not an at-large bid coming. So, really, at this point,
you're playing for the conference tournament. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, as much as I want Bracey out there and as much as I, to be honest, don't think they can win at a Middle Tennessee or at a UAB without him, I want him healthy for conference tournament time for sure, and that's all that matters these days. Not that the regular season doesn't matter, but when you got to go win 3-4 games in 3 or 4 days, you need your best players on the floor. But I will say, interesting stat from Saturday night versus UTEP. 4 guys either set or tied a career high.
6 guys in double figures.
Yeah, Derek Jean with 20, Jalen Washington with 19, Amori Archibald with 15, Anthony DeRuzzi with 13. If you can have consistent, you know, figures from guys, starters and, you know, off
chipping
the bench.
Chipping in, yeah.
That's big time down the stretch, especially when you're nursing injuries, when you have things happen like losing guys like Jalen Harris and, you know, Janiah White out with a death in the family, things like that. To be able to come together and rally with a starting lineup that I don't think we've seen yet this year and may not ever see again, to get a W was really nice and a convincing one.
And I'll add this as well. I've been really impressed lately with the play of Oliver Powell, 6'8", sophomore inside. He's shown the ability to be able to throw the ball down to the block and go get a bucket. And Tech has struggled at that with a true post player. We've seen McCree be able to go get a bucket down low at times. But Oliver Powell is a guy that can operate in the post, left-handed, right-handed hook shots. I've been really impressed with his play lately.
Yeah, and I've been really impressed with Anthony DeRuzzi. I think he came in the other night and provided a spark in a big way. He threw down maybe the biggest dunk I've seen in the Tech in a couple years, had the place going insane. And so DeRuzzi's a guy that could provide some quality minutes, and he just looks cool in the uniform. But
has sick hair, too.
Sick hair. But one thing I want to talk about before we get to the break is, obviously, we talk about these 1- and 2-point losses. That raises the question, Ben, for you. If you're losing games by 1 and 2 points, it's obviously not a lack of talent. It's obviously kind of like Austin said, you're not getting run off the floor. You're pretty much in every game. It's coming down to final shots. What's the difference there? Is it coaching? Is it depth? What is it? How do you win those close games?
I don't think it's depth by any stretch of the imagination. I think when you look at the loss to Western Kentucky, where simply you don't block out, I'll be honest with you, Conkle has to have taught that 25, 35 times. That's on the players. You got to block out at the end of the day to win the basketball game. I think, you know, some of these close losses have to do with youth.
You look at the UTSA game, you make a big buck – or, no, excuse me, Boykins makes three free throws on a foul three-pointer to tie the game, and then you let, you know
– drive the floor, and then they score over you.
A point guard drive the floor and score with no time left. You can't do that.
Yeah, and you have to defend better, and I think some of this is youth. Some of it's a combination of, you know, youth, lack of experience, like, you know, that really resembles youth, but – you know, and a lack of being in tight games in conference play. Because how many times have we seen lackadaisical passes that are turned over in the backcourt that lead to an easy bucket? Well,
right.
You don't make that turnover at the 12-minute mark in the first half. You end up winning the game.
Well, and you turn the ball over 20 times at Marshall.
And turnovers were a huge issue.
Turn the ball over 20 times at Marshall, that number's come down.
Yeah, the last two times out, Texas only had 8 turnovers.
Which is awesome.
I mean, really good.
You got to have that, and credit to Archibald and those guys for coming in and playing well.
Starting a true freshman Archibald in his first two career starts.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with our final segment. Ask a couple tough questions. Recap the show. Look forward to next week. Stay with us right here. Bleed Tech Blue Radio Sports Talk 97.7. Be right back.
For years, serious hunters around here have gotten close to that big buck on a Bad Boy Buggy from Fairway Carts in Minden. Well, Bad Boy Buggy has a new name, Textron Off-Road, still committed to providing the same power, range, and stealth you demand. Textron Off-Road side-by-sides are whisper quiet, have plenty of distance for wherever you hunt, excellent steering, and deliver a great ride. Hey, you just need to come test ride one to see for yourself. And you can count on Fairway Carts to have the selection you want and always make you a great deal. 2018 models are rolling in, so remaining 17s are priced to move with big rebates and low interest financing with approved credit. Talk with Larry about a sweet Fairway Carts deal on the one you want most and find out how much you'll save. All the reasons you want a Bad Boy Buggy now wrapped up in a new name, Textron Off-Road. Trailer yours home from Fairway Carts in Minden. Call 800-960-CART or go to fairwaycarts.net.
Wampo Tire Service has been a proud Tech sponsor for over 60 years. When Tech hits the court, it's game on. This weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Wampo Tire get you safely to and from the game. With brake repair, alignment, computer diagnostic, plus all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Wampo Tire Service Superstore, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe, or visit WampoTire.com.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio, as we wrap it up. Final segment. Busy show tonight, Sutton. It's been a lot of fun. I feel like we've covered a ton. I guess when you're not on for 3 weeks, things just seem to pile up. But it's been a fun show tonight.
Yeah, it really has, and we're going to take a minute just to ask our tough questions, kind of become our tradition of our last segment here, just kind of, you know, shoot a couple things off of each other from the hip and see kind of gut-level reaction type stuff. We don't talk about this stuff ahead of time. Usually we just fire away and kind of see what comes out. So, my first question to you is, what do you think, going into 2018, is the ceiling for Louisiana Tech football? I know this year didn't go as expected, 7-6. But when a 7-6 season is a tough season, it usually means your program's trending in the right direction. So What's the ceiling for this team next year, and what do we expect going into 2018?
Ceiling. Interesting question. You look at this year, Tech finished 7-6. You only lose 17 seniors off that roster. When you look at guys that you're going to have difficulty replacing, I'm not going to say irreplaceable. Jared Kraft, Boston Scott are the easy answers offensively. Deldrick Canty at defensive end. And then I think, you know, Cedric Cooper at safety, first team all conference.
Absolutely.
You know, those for me are the four guys you're going to have difficulties replacing. So, looking ahead to next year, schedule's going to be considerably tougher. Five home games, road games at only five home games. Road games at Mississippi State, who,
at
LSU as well. That'll be a game that's circled. You know, who knows? Tech might go down to Baton Rouge and, you know, they're definitely going to have fun. It'll be a fun matchup to watch. But, you know, what's the ceiling? You look at the West Division, I don't think you'll see much improvement out of Rice and UTEP with both those programs changing coaches. It'll probably take some time to establish a direction. I think Tech's more talented than North Texas. I think they were this year, as evidenced by North Texas getting blown out by Troy in their bowl game. You look at Southern Miss, Tech goes to double overtime. Tech defeats UTSA. So I think you'll see Tech right there competing again for a West Division title. But the biggest question in the offseason is, will Jamar Smith progress into a quarterback that Coach Holtz can say, hey, you know, I got to throw it 45, 50 times this game, and I trust you to, you know, get it to the right guys and let them make plays. For me, that's the biggest question. If they do so, you know, I haven't, you know, practice starts in 8 months. So I'm going to say right now, I'm going to say nine wins, you know, fifth straight bowl game. I'd take it, you know, compete for a conference championship, see what Lane Kiffin has to offer in Boca Raton.
You're not settling by saying 8 and 9 wins in a fifth bowl victory. I think that's a successful
absolutely not
season.
Oh yeah, definitely.
No question. I mean, 9 wins is, you look at the 2012 team that we talked forever about being one of the greats. They were a 9-win team. Now, granted, had a chance to be 10, and that will go down in history as one of the biggest flubs with that bowl game scenario. But a 9-win team there that was extremely impressive, led the country in total offense. So you know what the ceiling is on the field. Well, we don't yet, but you can predict. What do we predict from the ceiling to be from the fans? That's my next question. Because it was a tough year. I don't think the Joe was a home field advantage this year. I really don't.
I don't either. I'll be honest with you.
When you draw 8K, I don't care what the announced attendance was. When you draw 8,000 people on senior day for a game that could either land you a bowl game or not, that's disappointing, and to hear crickets when players run out of the tunnel, it's disappointing. And I don't know, you know, what needs to change. I don't know. Maybe having five home games next year will help. People won't get as, you know,
worn out with it.
Yeah, but if you're getting worn out with college football on a Saturday in Ruston, Louisiana, we aren't made of the same blood. Nothing gets me more excited than the Tack on Saturdays.
Listen.
I just don't understand.
You and I are, you know, we're not afraid to admit it. We're Tech homers. We're huge Tech fans. That's what we are. We bleed red and blue, and we want Tech to win every time out, and we believe they're going to. And
sometimes.
No, even if you and I say, hey, I don't think Tech's going to win this week, deep down when we flip that game you know, it's a win,
and
it's disappointing. So from a fan perspective, I think it's important. You know, you win 8-9 games every year. How many programs can say they do that? Not many in Conference USA, I can guarantee you. How many times has it happened in Tech's program history? Not often.
Right.
And that's a bottom line. What Holtz is doing at Tech, it'll be year 6 a year from now. And I like what he's building. I feel like there's more depth on both sides of the football than Tech's ever had. That's important to realize from a fan perspective, but it's also important to look at a schedule and make a realistic point of view. If Tech's not 11-1 and in the Conference USA Championship, then there's no reason to be throwing haymakers wherever you may want to throw them.
Yeah, you can't have – I think, you know, managing expectations is important, and maybe we didn't do a good job of that this year. I think the first show of the year we predicted Tech to go undefeated.
I just picked 11 wins.
11 wins, which is absurd. I understand.
I was only off by 4.
True. That's true. But maybe we need to all manage our expectations a little better. Maybe we can't expect Tech to be, you know, all world. And but golly, if it's not better than sitting in a duck blind at, I mean, if you're sitting in a duck blind at 2 in the afternoon, you got problems anyway. You ain't going to shoot
nothing.
Much. But I don't care if it's hunting season. I think hunting season is great. But college football in Ruston, Louisiana on Saturdays is something that a lot of people in this community say that they love. But
we'll find out next year.
I mean, I heard about people giving their press box suite seats away.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
All right, let's look elsewhere.
Yeah, ask me a tough question.
You and I, we came to Louisiana Tech, obviously. Derek Dooley, head football coach our freshman year.
Yep.
Been named the new offensive coordinator at Missouri. With what you know about Derek Dooley and his offensive philosophies, what do you think of the hire?
Well, first of all, I'm happy for Derek.
And how much should he mean to Louisiana Tech?
Okay, that's a good two-part question. First part of that question, I'm happy for Coach Dooley, although I think he had a pretty sweet gig with the Dallas Cowboys as their receivers coach. Now he's
babysitting Des Bryant.
He's probably tired of fighting with Des Bryant on the sidelines. But other than that, you know, close to, you know, well, I guess he doesn't really have home here, but you know, a good program in the NFL, arguably the richest program, you know, or I keep saying program, richest franchise in the NFL. But what does he mean to Tech? Not a whole lot, in my opinion.
I think he's huge for the program.
I don't think he created a legacy, but you're right. He did
from
turn
an AD perspective.
Correct, exactly. As a head coach.
No, as a head coach, I you know, he took us to that one eye bowl, but other than that, like
did he win 5 games the year he left?
Yeah, 4. 4, I think.
Golly, so. He didn't do anything at Tennessee either. As an AD, though,
I think he's fantastic.
No question. Yeah. He elevated the expectation. No question. And
well, I think he demanded more from the university.
Absolutely.
And you look where we are now with the press box, the Davison Athletic Complex. Heck, Derek Dooley got the video board put in. That's where we were when he got here.
Didn't have a video board. We had a thing on some stilts up there on the hill. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
That old, you know, gym basketball type scoreboard.
Yeah.
And you're right. As an AD, Derek Dooley did demand more out of this program, and good on him for being named a head coach in the SEC, and hopefully he can do big things with the Missouri Tigers. All right, moving elsewhere. Okay, we just talked about it for a second. I want to know your realistic, way too far out. Oh, sorry, that doesn't go hand in hand. Your unrealistic, way too far out prediction for when Tech travels to Baton Rouge. Next season.
Oh, way too far out.
Way too far out. But that's what this segment's for.
I love the job Edo's doing at LSU.
Oh, Lord.
I love listening to Edo in an interview. Seriously. Great interview.
I can't hear a thing he's saying.
Yeah, me neither. That's why it's great. But you look at the direction LSU's program's headed. You know, I think they're right where, you know, many expected them to be. They have a tough schedule next year, just like Tech does. I'd say they're going to be favored, you know, probably a 3-touchdown favorite in that game. But I think Tech's going to be talented. You know, I think it's the 3rd game of the season. I'm going to say that Tech drops a 31-23 decision in Baton Rouge.
That's the most realistic thing I've ever heard you say. But I just don't see LSU scoring 31 on us.
Oh, they will be breaking in a new quarterback. And
we've got a much improved defense.
That's true.
Coming back.
That's true.
I don't know that LSU's capable of 31. This is a team that didn't cross the 50-yard line the last time they were in the national championship. So until they do
You said be unrealistic. So let's
you're right,
what
right,
you
right.
Got.
Okay, being unrealistic, since you picked a loss, the last time that Louisiana Tech went to Tiger Stadium, it was one of the more thrilling first-half performances, and we went into the half up 13-10.
Dennis Morris on a jump pass.
From Daniel Porter. I'll never forget it. Obviously, it didn't end up winning the game, but I'm going to say Tech wins 24-21 in Tiger Stadium.
Edo won't have a job headed home that night.
That's how we're ending our show for this week. Stay with us. We'll be back the same time next week right here. Esports Talk 97.7, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. For Ben Carlisle, I'm Sutton Davison. We will see you soon.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Ideal Portable Building, Brister Smokehouse, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening.